Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Yes, I'm smiling like the Cheshire Cat this morning, and it's not just because I woke up to some more delightful rain. You know me. I'm going to put a spin on it. Guess what? We're in a record point in my neighborhood for rainfall in the springtime. I don't know if it's going to help this summer, but we can certainly hope for that. Guess what, folks? For those of you who are looking at supertalk.tv today, I am truly in my element here. This is beautiful, Lance. Thank you.
Well, you are welcome, and it's a beautiful picture, and you need to tell everybody what we're looking at because we had it last week.
We had the flower last week, but this week it is actually enveloping me.
It's like wrapping me in a wonderful shawl
of suburban Nancy Gale daylilies, and she's worth a view. Even though I'm here, she is worth a view. So visit supertalk.tv. Trust me, your computer can handle it. Just come on over and play with us.
An explosion of colors.
It's delightful, and it is one of the best daylilies ever hybridized.
Yeah,
we are so fortunate that it is.
I found a good picture that you gave me.
Thank you. She's in my front garden.
Pretty.
Been there for 4 years now, I think, and every year the plant just gets bigger, and she has, in fact, multiplied, so it's quite a lovely clump now. But for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, daylilies are, of course, the classic June flower, if you ask me. They are the flower that, you know, each flower lasts only one day, but there are gazillions of them. So the good news is you get them started and you have flowers for quite a few days, quite a few weeks, in fact, but it's just one flower per day. They are not great cut flowers. They are garden flowers, and they are absolutely worth fooling with, particularly when you are lucky enough to be someplace like the Deep South, because in the Deep South we have daylily hybridizers, some of which are really internationally acclaimed. And in the case of the company Suburban Daylilies, which is, in fact, why this is Suburban Nancy Gale, she was hybridized there by Earl and Barbara Watts in Hattiesburg. And it is a beautiful, beautiful plant. The thing is easily 28, 30 inches tall. The flowers are 5 to 6 inches across, and they will stop traffic. People walk by my house. She's in bloom. People stop and go, "What is that?" Because she's so distinct. But daylilies as a group are easy to grow. They are lovely. The main problem we get is rusty leaves, and that is another part of the Nancy Gale saga. She doesn't get that. So that's pretty wonderful. Whatever you want to talk about today, I'll be more than happy to take texts, phone calls. And, in fact, we've got a guest for the studio. Of course, today is the first day of the month, so we're lucky enough. We've got our friend Peaches coming in. Mark Patrick will be here to talk with you about stuff. Terry and Bogachitta, my goodness. Look at that. Man, we have to make up a story. Terry has sent a photo of a beautiful arrowhead that he found cleaning up his garage. That's not where we usually think about it, but I say, hey, there's a story there somewhere. Let's find it. Let's find it and figure it out. Second hour today, I will be talking about the questions that are in the Facebook group, the Garden Mama group. When you all send them in and don't put any pictures with it, I will answer those questions here as time permits, and today is probably a day that will happen. I have a conflict, Lance. I don't know what to do. There are 2 days that are crashing into each other today. Today is Say Something Nice Day. And generally, that's pretty easy to do. You know, we can think of something nice to say. But it's also Oscar the Grouch Day. So I think the challenge is to find something nice to say about the grouchiest person in your life. So I set this as a task to everyone today. In my case, there are several things I could say, but then that person would know who I'm talking about, so we don't want to do that. Really very cool, Terry. Thank you for sending that. Thomas is in Macomb. Good morning. How y'all doing? I have pulled out loose dirt for today because I really loved this wonderful article so long ago. Goodness gracious, what year was this thing? 98, you know, been writing in this particular area, Zone 8, for a very long time. But luckily for me, I had the chance to work on Loose Dirt with the great Lynn Ashford, and one of the writers, Dorothy Hopkins, wrote us veggie tips. I have to tell you, I've only been to a few people's houses where they actually had worm composting going on in their garage, and it was fascinating. I mean, it was just lovely, and I really enjoyed seeing what she was up to. So, of course, worm composting is one of her tips, that you really should do that. But here's one. A couple of people have asked recently, what do you do because the seedlings are getting knocked over? There's something coming up out of the soil, it looks like, and they just chew it off at the ground level. What is that and what can I do about it? Generally speaking, those are real, I mean, very simply, there's several of different critters that will do this, but cutworms, there are a few different worms that will actually do that. So what she has suggested, when you have these little tiny seedlings and you've got, you know, we've all got 100 straws from takeout food somewhere in a drawer someplace. Cut them, because there's all different size straws too. Cut them and make the collars for that plant so that then the critter can't wrap their body around the little tiny stem in order to let go, you know. So it's interesting enough. Funny stuff though, the great ones, okay. Well, Terry found it in his garden. I was wondering about cleaning out his garage and finding an arrowhead he didn't know he had. But that could happen in this world. We could be someone else's collection could have gotten left there. But thank you for correcting yourself and myself. I appreciate that. Oh, another question came up this week, several places, about companion planting. And I think, can I just say, I really believe that there are people in the Deep South who think they are gardening in Ohio, okay, because they read these things primarily on the internet, but sometimes in books and magazines, and it tells you to do this or that at this time, and you'll be better, your garden will be better. And companion planting is one of those things that gets really tied up. I have seen just recently the idea that I should be out planting my squash right now from seed. We're harvesting squash now in Zone 8, okay? Not necessarily the long-term hard-shelled squashes, but the summer squash, the zucchini, all those things are starting to come in. And if they're not, it's going to get too hot pretty soon for them to be able to make very much of a bearing. The other ones have a longer life. It's like a pumpkin. You literally need the hot, hot weather. But in the case of these others, they're just a little bit more tender. They might keep going for you, but they probably won't. You'll plant them again in July to start that other kind of squash, the summer squash, the zucchinis, the basically table squashes. So the question remains always, what do I plant in a companion planting situation? And the recommendation has always been to plant radishes. But I saw an article this week, you know, put them around the squash plants, do that, and it'll help keep flea beetles and also help keep the bigger problem, which of course is the squash vine borer, keep that moth away. I don't know. I haven't seen that work. I don't know. But there are a lot of people who do it and claim good success. So I'm passing you the story, because the funny part is it's almost too hot to plant radishes now. So when you see that tip in your Facebook feed or in your social media or in a magazine that you like, and it's a magazine for June in the United States, remember that June in that part of the United States may actually be, oh, I don't know, late April here. So you have to be aware that when you're putting in companion planting, it is things that have to be planted at the same time or can be planted at the same time. Where radishes take only 30 days to make, they don't make in every 30 days of the season. By the time we get into June, if you're planting them with your summer squash then in that July crop, you may find that they don't do quite as well. But Dorothy does say that it works, and since I have always trusted her information, I appreciate it. One of the things that people also have written to me about this week, and another reason that I pulled this article back out, is about Epsom salts and whether or not that's going to help the tomatoes or whether it's going to help the green peppers or any number of things, roses, you know, there's a lot of stuff. And her tip says that, in fact, some things work for some people and some things don't. This one works for her. And I like how she always says that. Epsom salts, 1 tablespoon to 1 gallon of water. And she uses it, has used it as a spray as opposed to a drench. So that's just a tip for you. If you're interested in trying Epsom salts, remember that what you're basically applying is calcium and magnesium and a few, like that sort of thing. Okay? Okay. Let's see. Wow, that is nice. And I'm so in agreement with you, Jeff. Jeff has sent in a beautiful picture of this fruit set, 10 tomatoes in the cluster on the variety Celebrity right now, today. Okay? I have 5 on mine, and frankly, my plant didn't go in as early as it could have, but it is in a big container, and it gets 3/4 of a day of sunshine. So I'm doing really, really well. I'm very happy. One of them has actually begun to change its color, so it will be starting to get ripe very, very soon. But you're right. I always recommend Celebrity for a number of reasons. It doesn't take very long to start bearing, and actually if you start it from seed, it's pretty easy to start from seed. But the other piece of it is that it is determinant, which means that it will not be 4 feet above your tomato cage. It's a plant that's going to get to be 4 to 5 feet tall and stop its growing. It will continue to make fruit. It just doesn't have endless height. It has a controlled height, and therefore it makes it a little bit easier to handle, especially in containers. Especially in containers. Oh, that's lovely. Really, really pretty. Thank you, Paula. That's so pretty. Between your kitten pictures and this lovely picture of raindrops on a rose flower, you know, those are the kind of things that we're seeing today. If you follow me at Garden Mama Nelly on any of the social medias, you will notice that I posted rain pictures today because that's what I saw.
Well, Paula, you're going to have a run for your money with the little kittens that just sprouted out of nowhere around here. These little things are just little fuzzy britches
right now.
We're
following them with great interest.
Yeah. Watching them from that little bitty thing grow up. And, you know, they live in the plants.
There's always
everywhere.
Yeah, we have a crop of cats here frequently.
We're rat-free, I can assure you.
Yes. They do a good job.
Life. They get to roam this huge lot. They've got protection. Somebody feeds them.
Yeah.
All these beautiful plants and landscaping. I mean, you can't have a better life if you're an outdoor cat. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right here, these guys got it.
Works
it made.
For me.
Plenty of squirrels and birds, you know, so just the way it is.
Oh, my goodness. Now we got pictures from Trey in Grenada. I'm going to bet you that's rattlesnake bean flowers. I don't know, but I know he grows those, and they are so beautiful, but the flowers are gorgeous. They look like sweet peas. They're so pretty. And I'm going to say more squash. Looks like a good bunch of squash. Squash and rattlesnake bean flowers. I was right. I like when I'm right. It doesn't happen all that often, but sometimes it does. Thanks for that, Trey. That's beautiful. You know, when we talk about these varieties that we have not necessarily grown every, you know, you don't find them in the grocery store like rattlesnake beans or something, you're going to be looking for those varieties in different places. It might be rare seeds from Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds, for example, which is where the moonflower seeds came from that I just brought today. I really believe that people who tend to be awake in the dark and of the night need to grow moonflowers because it gives you something to look at when you're out there getting in your truck at, I don't know, stupid o'clock in the morning. It's a wonderful plant, and they smell good. Plus, they attract the most beautiful big moths. So it's a wonderful plant to have. I hope everybody has them. I have been absolutely overwhelmed with, I'm going to get into this later on this morning, but the whole business of the chickadees. Turns out that is my spirit animal. I had no idea that I was a basically short, round bird. It turns out I am. I'm very happy about that.
I'm going with a chupacabra for myself.
I don't doubt that at all.
Mythological.
I've known you a while now, and I don't doubt it at all. I really don't. Oh, come on now, Trey. These are too pretty.
Yeah, isn't that? I'm trying to get all the pretty stuff over.
We're looking at Trey's beans.
Yeah, I know. It's beautiful.
And it's just gorgeous. Just lovely. They'll
He's ahead of schedule, it looks like.
Well,
I mean, they look good to me.
I'm serious. There is A wet spring gives us some advantages and some disadvantages. The disadvantage at my house right now is that even the covered garbage cans have mosquitoes coming in. They're like just everywhere. So I encourage you to do whatever it is you do for that particular pest and do it pretty soon. I have a couple of things. I'm big on trying to keep things a little bit drier than they might want to be in a record-setting spring rain spell. But I also am really very, very fond of the little dunks. If you have ponds, if you have water features, if you have places to put that sort of thing, we store water at my place. So we use that. We use a couple of different things that are not – this is not potable water. It's not water I'm going to drink or cook with, but it's water for – running the sewer system when I need to. The really good news is that most of the time I don't. It ends up being irrigation water for the garden, and that's even better. So probably need that by some point this year, but it won't be today. The Nancy Gale Daylily that you are, if you're just tuning in to supertalk.tv, you're seeing it behind me, and I'm sitting in it. I feel like I have always wanted to be in one of those fairy stories, you know, where the little fairies are up in the flowers and stuff. And finally, I'm getting to do that. The whole world is opening up in a different way. Just wonderful. Let's see. Josh from Laurel wants to know, when is the best time to plant watermelons, and is it different for red and yellow? It's not necessarily different for red and yellow. It is different depending on the variety, because some take 80 days and some take 100. So you need to know how long it's going to take. Watermelons, in my opinion, are something that needs to be planted sooner than now. But if you're a watermelon grower and you're planting them right now, let me know. I know that Watermelon Festival comes up in July, and we presume that that's the big harvest, you know. So being a July birthday kid, I'm kind of famous for having watermelons at my birthday parties since I can remember. And as a result of that, I'm going to tell you that even if it's an 80-day variety, if you want to be harvesting it before July 4th, it would have to be really getting going. It would have to already be there. But the bigger, longer ones like Charleston Gray that take 100 days, you're going to have a longer time to be able to get them to harvest. So back up your calendar, look at your variety you're trying to grow, and figure out if you've still got time to plant. I think that's the best advice I can give. And I don't know how to say this. I'm a yellow watermelon girl. Please don't hate me.
So pure, it's the morning dew. Railroad love, it's Friday too. Your eyes, they talk and say, come on. What killed me, baby? It's your hidden charm.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year, or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extra-help.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Well, let it rain, let it pour, let it rain a whole lot more, 'cause I got them big rivers. Let it rise, let it fall, let the waves make the shore, 'cause I got them big river blues.
Well, rain or shine, my friends, 9:30 Monday morning, June 3rd, Becky Potts and I will be doing a very fun workshop. We've got it planned for you to be kind of a hoot and a holler. We're going to show you what's inside those containers and when to repot plants and why they need to be repotted and how to repot them and all the different things that are involved in that. So I hope that you will join us at Lakeland Yard and Garden in Flowood Monday morning, June the 3rd at 9:30 a.m. It's going to be a lot of fun, I promise. I love that people do so much research on hummingbirds, and for some reason or another, I think they should announce all of it in December when we're wishing that they were around in a little bit greater numbers, perhaps. I got to say, though, that the University of California in Los Angeles, that's our favorite UCLA, has done a study of hummingbird neurons. I just can't imagine being that curious, but I like knowing the results. How do they get near that flower and do all that? How do they, without, I don't know, I mean, are there clumsy hummingbirds that bang into the flower? I think was the question that they were originally asking. But their flight mechanics have great implication, obviously, for so many other things that we do. And that is one of the things that I really hope that people will get from this, is that it's a study of their flight mechanics. They actually have an acute sense of touch. They sense where the edge of the flower is before they hit it. Would that everything had that. I think we need to multiply that effect. Can I talk to Don in Meridian, please? How are you doing, Don?
I'm doing great. We're going from hummingbirds to box turtles.
Yeah. Beautiful
okay.
things.
For the past several years, I've had one or more box turtles that we, you know, the big, that's what we used to call them, that about the size of a softball,
mm-hmm.
wandering around from my backyard. I don't know how they get to the front yard because they have to come around, but from the back to the front yard, and they don't appear to bother either my annuals or the bulbs or perennials or anything like that that I know of.
No. They're not interested in any of that.
I thought, it's for me to be able to tell whether there are more than one, can I paint the top of the shelf, not the whole shelf, but just a place on the shelf so that I can kind of track them around? Or would that bother them? Or do I need to be concerned about them in my
plant? Here's the thing. Unfortunately, and I do say this because I am a very proud American, we Americans tend to overdo everything. So I can see that a dot, you know, on the turtle so that you know that that's one of your turtles. And if one comes along that doesn't have a dot, we know it's somebody, they've multiplied or they brought in a friend or something. I can get that. That's fine. But the practice of painting them, you know how they have those ridges and things on their shells? And people will paint every one of those as if it was a stained glass format, okay? That's really dangerous. Not only do the paint fumes bother the turtle, but you're also, you're actually covering up their part of their respiratory neuron system at that point. I mean, their skeleton is right there on the outside. You're hurting them. But I don't think one dot for the purpose of identification. It's sort of like if we were going to put a microchip, you know, in the edge of the shell so that you could track where they go and follow their roots and all that sort of thing. I'm sure that that's already done. Otherwise, we would never have been able to do the work that was so important to create turtle excluder devices for the Gulf, you know? So I'm not opposed to one dot, but but don't get carried away.
they don't appear to be eating anything.
No, they don't. They're not eating plants. Okay. So they're eating other things. They're eating insects and stuff.
Okay.
But what beautiful turtles. They are so beautiful, I think. I had them when I was a kid around.
Yeah. These have been several years. I guess they just overwinter in my backyard or something. I don't know.
You have made the perfect spot for them, and that's great.
That's right. And I step on them sometimes, so I have to kind of watch some places. They hide up under
them. Well, I'm interested to hear the population explosion. I want to find out if it's going to be, you know, how this is all going to go. So keep us informed, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you, Ken. Have a wonderful day. You know, Don, I'm sorry. I got that. See, I'm making mistakes today, and I correct myself. Gosh, I'm a human, after all.
I mean, you can bedazzle a turtle, right? I mean, if you got like a granddaughter and she's got the little kit and caboodle with the bedazzling kit.
You can't put grommets on them and wear them around your neck either. No, you can't do that. You cannot. Now, I will say that I the only one of those things that I actually did in my life that I feel bad about, well, there's a couple of others, but the one I feel the worst about is we never took the hermit crabs back to the beach after we had the races on the porch. And I'm not sure. I don't know what happened to them. I don't know. We didn't. I just don't know. But hermit crab races were one of my very favorite things.
Did you ever try to bring them back?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, that doesn't work. Yeah. No.
A few days later, start a little smell.
Well, and it's not know, a it's just, not a yeah it's not a pleasing experience. Yeah, no, so I'm pretty sure we I'm sure we were told not to do that. So we smuggled a couple, and it was a bad idea.
Yeah, that's the other side of it. Yeah, it's a little contraband coming back.
Yeah, some of that. Speaking of that, I recently saw a seashell collection. And it was that of a person who has since gone, passed away, and this is at a museum. And I was kind of torn by not only the extent and the beauty and recognizing it, but also how many shells this person took from the earth that may or may not have been intended to be collected. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure how you work all that out. But I know I should not have brought the hermit crabs in the trunk of the car.
Yeah. What is the tongue twister, the... Sally.
She sells.
Yeah.
See, I'm going to stop right there. Everybody, now you have just done it. Everybody's earworm all day long.
I because it's in mine now when you start talking about seashells. I'm
you're
like, I know that. Tongue
it.
Twister, I know that one. But, yeah.
Yeah, we.
That's how to warm up in the morning is saying that about 20
and
times.
Yes, and they do make you do that. You were talking about my breathing thing. And that's almost the same thing, that exercise.
Tai Chi going on in
exercise.
Here.
Well, I wish it were that romantic. It actually comes from when we were taught diaphragmatic breathing when I became a flute player and I was 8. So I didn't know from any of that other stuff. But it does always apply because the whole business of centering yourself does have to do with breathing and keeping everything, you know, keeping yourself in the place that you are. There's those of you who get the Garden Mama newsletter will be aware that there are a lot of distractions in my world right now. And if you don't get it, well, that's okay. Because I'm here and I'm focused. It's all right. One of the things that has always intrigued me are those places, usually in museums, where there's a corner and you can hear the people talking on the balcony, you know, 200 yards away from you, that kind of thing, because of the echo, because of the acoustics in that spot. And I've always been interested in that. Well, it turns out we're now going to get that. AI headphones will let a wearer listen to a single person in a crowd just by looking at them once. This is some AI that I want. Because I'm snoopy, I'm nosy, but even more so, sometimes there's too much noise in a place and you'd like to be able to look at somebody and talk to them. They don't have to be far away. They're just across the table. You can't hear them because the noise is so great. So I kind of think this could be fun. Interestingly enough, it's University of Washington. They're calling it Target Speech Hearing. Pay attention. That's going to be around. We're going to find out more about that. This is interesting. Let's see. Who have we got here? Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the world of summer weeds, Paula. This is where we start with suppress, suppress, suppress. And it is. She also says it's egg laying season for box turtles. Now we're going to have all the box turtle lore. When it comes to this is where you need to learn to use your hoe. And that's an H-O-E. The tool that has the sharp blade on the base of it, and literally you can scratch this out. That I'm going to be doing a patch of this at my house too.
Thought you were getting political on us after the week.
Not me.
I'm kidding.
Not me, baby.
I'm messing with you.
I know who I am. No, we're not going to talk about that. There's things
there's
here.
So much
there's
more fun
some,
stuff
there's some
to
things
do with
here
you.
On this text line, y'all. One of these days. One of these days.
Yeah.
Lance and I are going to sit and read the text line.
The text line's gold. I get to do it all week, man. I love this.
We're going to read it, record it, and put it out there. Nobody will know.
And I love our Super Talk family is so diverse and so wide, and we have such great people. And thank y'all for participating in the conversations through the week, whether it be politics, but especially
I'm stuck on the Friday food
thing. Especially the flowers and gardens. That's one of the best segments in anything anywhere.
It's fun.
If you want to hear some great stuff getting cooked in Mississippi on the grill or what,
such a joy,
man! And then you can ensconce yourself with a beautiful garden while you're doing that.
See, here we are.
You know, that's how it works. It all comes full circle.
I was gifted with one of the most unusual presents that I've ever gotten in my life. It turns out that someone that I know showed up at a party with, after everyone else had just about eaten, with more lamb chops than they could possibly eat. So they cooked them all and went and raided the rosemary plant next door and that kind of stuff. And I ended up with them. It was great. It was really wonderful, but you hardly ever get a gift of lamb chops. Need to think about that maybe a little bit more often. Oh, I love this. The question this morning is, and since we don't actually know who this is, I'm not seeing a name up here above this, but we'll say that it's, I don't know, Marion Meridian. Hello. The oak leaf hydrangeas are huge. They're just starting to bloom. Aren't they gorgeous? I love that plant. I want to trim them back after the blooms die, but I don't know how far or when. Yes, you want to do it very soon after the flowers finish, and you want to trim as little as possible, which is why actually with a shrub like this, one of the reasons I think we don't have more oak leaf hydrangeas in our shade gardens, which is where they belong and where they're magnificent, is because they're not as simple to look at and go, okay, just prune that and it'll be fine. If you do, you will lose your flowers like on so many other plants. But in this case, they also don't grow back as quickly as, say, a French hydrangea or some other shrub you might prune right after the flowering is finished. So give yourself the opportunity to take the flowers off and a little bit of it, but that's why we want you to prune a little bit every year after the flowers rather than doing a heavy cutting any one year. Generally speaking, you can prune one-third of the size of a shrub off in one year. But I'm going to tell you, in this case, I wouldn't do but about 20%. So if you can stand it. I know somebody's going to send me a text and say, well, I had to paint my house, so I had to cut it back more. I know. These things happen. But I think that we're on to it. Let's see. The potato slip. Oh, hello, Corinne's. The potatoes, and now it's time to put in potato slips. Okay. No, you can. You'll have to try to find the slips. I've seen them within the last few weeks in some of the larger racks at garden centers in the Jackson metro area. I can't remember where. I've been to too many nurseries recently. But I did see them in a box, like with the vegetable plants. And I suggest that you call and ask if they still have some. Okay. Let's see. Can you comment on growing hardy plumbago in our area? Plumbago is somewhat hardy, and I think as our basic heat content of Zone 8 is increasing, and as Zone 8 itself is spreading, of course, farther north, the southern parts, I hate to say Interstate 20 and south. I sound like a meteorologist because I'm not one. But basically, Interstate 20 south gets a little bit warmer and a little bit more likely to be hardy. Hardy plumbago can take temperatures down to 20, but it can't take temperatures down to 0 or down to even 12, which sometimes we get for a couple of nights. So it's very difficult to keep it as a, like oleander, it's very difficult to keep it above ground. But you may be able to keep the roots healthy and happy and get it to grow each year. I like to keep that kind of plant in a container so that I can then cover it or roll it into the garage or do something else with it if the weather demands that it be taken care of. My lemon tree has certainly benefited from that. Yes, it's a pain. On the other hand, I'm really crazy about the tree, and the lemons are the size of golf balls, so I'm very happy. The years that it does that, I don't mind the rest. So that's, interestingly enough, yes, that's right. You need to plant after you get those weeds out of there. That's true. There's always a better chance of competition, of you winning the race for the plants that you want. For example, if you're trying to do an area, if you can get solid sod and cut it into pieces and cover that area where you've just gotten the weeds out, you'll have a better luck than trying to seed grass seed over the top of it. But in some cases, you know, the grass seed will work fine. Let's see. What do we have here? Oh, that's an interesting one. I'm going to look at this one, Greg. Thank you for that. I've used the 30% vinegar for weed control, but I don't know about your brand, so I'm going to look at that and see what I think. And we're going to talk about clover. Yeah, clover can be your friend. Clover can also be a bit of a problem. But at any rate, I woke up to rain today. I bet you did, too. Stick around. This is the Garden Mama Show.
Before heading out in your RV, go through your propane system safety checklist. Take a look at exterior vents and clear away debris and blockage. Check propane cylinders for wear and tear. Inspect all propane appliance connections thoroughly for frays and damage. Make sure your RV has a DC fire extinguisher and propane carbon monoxide and smoke detectors and have the vehicle inspected annually. Remember, always leave repairs to the professionals. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com to learn more.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Do you have an invention?
Terrific. Does anybody else have as much fun as I do at work? Come on. Y'all are just great. Yes, you picked my brain. I got a note this week. She said, I really like to be able to pick your brain. Well, good. Fortunately, there's a fair amount in there, so I can keep it going for a length of time, at least 2 hours on a Saturday. She was asking about Disco Bell hibiscus, and is that still around? So it's one of the pictures that I sent today for the supertalk.tv. For our broadcast. Oh, there it is now. The thing about Disco Bell hibiscus is that it's at this point, they're called dinner plate hibiscus. They're called various and sundry group names, but they're all perennial hibiscus and they have a matte leaf. They're not shiny leaves. They're not that tropical baby that we so enjoy. It's a whole different thing. And in fact, they're perennial. But yeah, she's right. She was distressed because it had rained and the flowers were all ruined. Yes, they will be ruined pretty quickly because they're very papery. They almost feel like crepe paper. They're such a lovely, lovely flower. The good news is they bloom for weeks. So you take those flowers off, maybe prune off just that little seed head that would be trying to form there so that another flower somewhere else on the plant can come along and do its job. Beautiful plant. I was so glad to hear it. She said, I'm so glad I can pick your brain. I enjoyed it very, very much. Some things on the text line this morning that are coming in here to be interesting for me. Brenda has sent one of the most artistic and lovely pictures of a slug that I've ever seen in my life. Now, if you go to the University of California, Santa Cruz, you understand that banana slugs are their mascot because they are like literally as long as your arm and yellow and they're distinctive. That's not this kid. These little guys are maybe 2 to 3 inches long, spotted usually, particularly if they're getting mature. And yes, they will chew those seriously round holes in the leaves of everything that you just planted. They will, you know, flowers and vegetables and all of that. But the other problem is that they tell you there is somewhere in your garden that is staying too wet. And so for that reason, I want you to find where they're living. It might be under a pile of firewood. It might be under you know, a chair that got left outside and ended up creating too much shade and too much wet and too much damp, dark space. Reason for that is to tell you to get rid of that is because not only will you get rid of the snails, but you'll reduce your mosquito circumstances.
That's what I wanted to ask you. My dad, oh my Lord, I don't even know how to explain the slugs and snails, mostly slugs.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a dog kennel, and that's where Bo hangs out. That's his, you know, his mansion. And it's down, though, next to the secondary house. And so it's very shaded, very, mm-hmm. very nice area, a lot of leaves and stuff. But last year, it was like an invasion.
Yeah.
And we talked about that a little bit, and then we were able to get rid of some. But how do I get ahead of that this year?
Diatomaceous earth.
Right. So that's going to go back to the diatomaceous earth.
Yeah, but instead of putting it around each plant, you're going to spread it everywhere.
Spread it everywhere.
Because it won't bother the dog. It won't, you know, and particularly if you've got leaves in a shaded area, you can oftentimes have 2 or 3 inches of leaf mold on the soil, and you don't want to get rid of that. That's what's keeping your trees healthy and happy in dry times. But you also have to realize that that's happy spaces for the slugs and snails. So that's the place you really want to. What I have done, I should say this, you may not want to do it. What I have done is to sprinkle out the diatomaceous earth and then just take a garden rake and basically rattle the leaves so that it falls down farther into them.
Okay.
It's not a hard thing to do, but it will slow down. You're not going to cut all your trees down just to get rid of slugs and snails.
No, in this area, it can't be done. It's in between the house and the next door neighbor, the lot. You know, these are like 2-3 acre
lots. So we just have to try and keep it. And you also
they seem to invade the dog food and dog kennel, and that's what I want to try to get at, because Bo's the man, and I don't want him to have to deal with that.
Hello, that's a buffet from the point of view of the snails. You're lucky you don't have armadillos. You know it's true.
Yeah.
We put out food. What do we think? Yep, something's going to eat it.
Well, those guys are relentless.
Yes.
And they must have great eyesight or great sense of smell.
They
know what dog food is and know how to find it.
I'm pretty confident that they've been hungry before and they know when there's food in the neighborhood.
Thanks for the reminder, because I know we're getting to that season.
Yeah, now the only thing I will say is don't get the one that's for the swimming pool. It's cheaper, but it's not the grind that you want for this
purpose. You want the rough stuff.
You want the rough stuff, gotcha. The garden stuff, for sure.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. This is a hummingbird. I mean, a bumblebee in your hand. That's really cute. I love this. Sugar water on a cotton ball. The bumblebee was having a bad day there.
That's what you call bait. for a bumblebee.
And then off he flew. That's really fun. That's wonderful.
Well, Trey had the
Oh, that was wonderful.
I may try to load that behind you a little later. I didn't want to create too much of a...
I'll have a halo of bees.
I didn't know if that was going to work or not out of the gate, but I'll try it.
I like that. Let's see. Mike and Nancy, Lamar County, thank you so much. They wrote in to say something nice. Today is, in fact, Say Something Nice Day. And they said something nice. They said hello to all of us. And they also have been to a chicken sale this morning.
Oh, nice.
So that is nice. I'll
say something nice, do something nice.
See?
Chickens, I mean, that's from ground up. You know, there was Coke Devin was one of the days this week, which is rooster and wine.
Yeah.
And you basically take you have to cook
the rooster in the wine because it's an old rooster. That's where that came from.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is a delicious dish when it's cooked by someone that's as old as the rooster.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious if you'd ever had Coke Devin.
I have, but it was cooked by someone who was really old with a lot of red wine.
I think that's the game plan. And other spices, but I love reading it because it said you take the oldest rooster, the toughest, nastiest flavored one, and you make him into something great.
My grandmother would say it is only a sacrifice from the point of view of the hilarity that ensues when you have a bad rooster.
Right.
You don't actually mind the bad rooster going into dinner because... Right. They're repaying.
And you get to use, you get to cook it in wine, and probably you get to drink a little wine.
Wouldn't you think along the way?
Yeah, you'd think. What would go good with Coq de Vin? What would be a good side? Did you remember what was?
Unfortunately, it's those potatoes that take 10 hours to do.
Oh,
where it's a little thin, thin
in French,
shell.
Of course,
yes.
That's make
stuff.
This really hard.
That's right. Yeah. This can't just
be a 15-minute meal here.
This is the complicated ones with the individually, basically, potatoes shaved on a mandolin, and then each one is crusted.
You got to read John Paul Sartre to it.
I think you do.
Right,
yeah. Yes, I don't think you're allowed to cook without all of that. I'm sorry. For those of you who cook French cooking, we would love to have some, but we're not
I'm in on the eating part.
Yeah, we're not
I don't know how to spell it, but I'm sure it eats good.
Oh, my goodness. This is going to sound terrible. I've never wanted to be Julia Child. I like her attitude. She says she learns something every time she goes into someone else's kitchen, and I feel that way about gardens. I really do appreciate that. But I have never wanted to just dive into that one thing. If I dove into French cooking, the next thing I'd have to do would be to dive into Vietnamese cooking, you know, because of the evolution of things. I couldn't possibly do that. And I'm not that deep a person, I don't think. I don't think I can tell you the difference between Burgundy and Cabernet when it comes to the effect on the rooster, you know. And they do worry about that stuff. And I appreciate it because it's delicious.
Tastes.
Exactly.
Right.
It's delicious. But I can't argue about all that. Ken, this is a great question. Really good picture. Ken in Jackson has a little bit of browning at the base of the bulb that's growing in his container. He says, could this be root rot? He moved them inside the garage because they were getting so wet in the containers. I said, yes, it could be. This is one of the few times I'm going to tell you to go ahead and do a preemptive fungicide drench. You probably got some rot, but the best way, given the conditions that we're in and continuous rainfall, it's not going to be bright and sunny and dry all that stuff up. So give yourself a preventative spray or drench or both of fungicide. Let's see if we can't get ahead of that. This kind of information, all of y'all's information, bumblebees and good grief. Say something nice about Oscar the Grouch. What? Oh, wait. It's That's what day it is, folks. This is the Garden Mama Show. We'll be back.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
We've sent that rib van.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Every segment's going to start with me laughing now, Lance. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I got to get better at cutting and editing.
This is great. Oh, my goodness. Those of you who join us on supertalk.tv know that Trey sends us really amazing videos as well as still photos from his gardens in Grenada. And this man is the bee whisperer, obviously. What we're looking at is his teas and the bees, as he says. And they are really magnificent. I'm interested to also see that we have the same taste in paper plates like that. This is fun. I've never been this close to this many bumblebees since they climbed out the wall of my house. Well, since they climbed out the wall of my house. But that was with beekeepers standing there, you know, with smoke guns and the whole business. But one of my houses in the country had a wall full. It did hum for a while. It was pretty impressive. Welcome into the Garden Mama Show, where you just never know what's going to happen next. One of the things happening right now is we get a chance to say hi to Mark Patrick. Hey, Mark.
Good morning.
Happy, happy spring. We are rolling through. I can't believe it's June already.
Yeah,
good grief. Here we are.
Happy June 1st.
I see that. Well, we'll talk about that later. I've been doing the acute sense of taste and touch and all of these things in the last few weeks. Right now it's hummingbirds and their incredible sense of touch. Why don't we have that? Come on. We need to have the opportunity that if I get near something, my little radar sonar would go off and I would not run into it.
If I had that, I would probably...
It'd be great.
No, it'd be dangerous.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, every time you go by a fast food restaurant, you'd be like...
The alarms would go off.
Swerving off the road, yeah. Exactly.
That's funny. Well, welcome in. Tell me, I know you've been really, really busy with Southern Charm, your own...
Yeah.
That's your world, the world of Southern Charm Landscaping. But talk to me, what are people planting this week? What are they... There's all kind of people out there with plants that I see in the back of their trucks and cars and stuff. What are they planting?
Well, you know, I had a long conversation with a gentleman that I'm subcontracting for, you know, and it's kind of the season to go big or go home. Everybody
yeah, that's
wants,
true.
You know, they want something in a 6-inch pot mm-hmm, or a gallon mm-hmm, pot because mm-hmm. they're trying to make up for lost time.
There's relatives coming.
Yeah, there's
for Father's
exactly.
Day or something.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Or graduation
something.
Or a
yeah,
baby
that's
shower.
True. I hadn't thought about that, but it is that time of year.
So, you know, it's definitely vinca season, angelonia season.
I'm so glad they improved about. Both of those.
Oh,
they
yeah.
both have a little bit more heat tolerance.
Yes.
So when you go to purchase things like angelonia, you may have seen things that sort of wimped out in the middle of the summer.
Right.
Get a newer version. Even impatiens are better now.
They are.
You know,
they are, and the colors have...
Stronger colors,
you know,
and frankly, longer life in the garden. We used to say that when you got to July 4th, you needed to take your head shears and go out and cut back the impatiens.
I'm already doing that.
They were going to be stretched from the heat, you
yeah.
know, and they were going to have all these problems. And certainly when they grow fast... I don't know how to tell you all this, but if you put Mark and I on a scale and the measure was how much do you fertilize, he would outweigh me by about 45 pounds a year at
no,
least.
No, it's not that bad.
Well, but you do that. You're more consistent than I am, and I'm not. I'm the person that is happy there is such a thing as slow-release fertilizer because I may not remember the next time.
You know, I'll run around in a swimsuit with a liquid feed, you know, like.
See, that's not going to be me.
I actually fertilized the vegetable garden over the fence with liquid
no.
feed the other
that's
day.
Funny. See, that's funny.
And then I ran around the corner to see if I actually hit it or not.
I had a great text that has just gotten to me here this morning from Greg. It's a great question about the vinegar weed control products. And, yes, they are very effective contact killers. That's all they are. And
right.
so there's not an ongoing suppression. But for things that only sprout once in the year anyway,
yeah.
why not?
Yeah.
You know, and the vinegar is not going to hurt your soil because you're not using that much of it.
Right, right.
But I like his idea of the Harris 30%. I had to look and see whether it was 30% or 20% that I had seen. They make both. That's why I couldn't remember.
Right.
But I don't see any problem with that. I think probably the 30% is the way to go.
And I'm pretty sure there's an at-home recipe somewhere floating around in the www.
Yeah, you might be able to trust it.
Right. Yeah.
But on the other hand, you can go buy some 30% vinegar and put
there
it in your sprayer. Now, I'm going to tell you that this is just the same thing as if you have insecticides that you spray and you have herbicides that you spray, you got to have two different sprayers. And I don't mean just a different hose and
Please.
A different head. You got to have two different sprayers. You will never get all of either product out of that. And particularly when you're using a weed control product, whether it's vinegar or, you know, my non-friend glyphosate or any of these other things, that is something that is intended to stop growth. So if you're spraying it on the same thing that you're trying to control an insect on,
right.
you're really not doing yourself any favors.
Well,
in fact, you may kill the plant. So
go get you some hot pink duct tape and a big Sharpie.
Put a note. Yeah, put a note on here.
Draw a big skull and crossbones on the herbicide.
Seriously. Because you won't remember. They'll be hanging on the shelf next to each other. And I have known people that would try to change the sprayer tips and the hoses and all that kind of stuff.
Interchanging.
And it's never...
No. No.
That's too much trouble.
Well,
just get another sprayer. They're not expensive.
I mean, so I have we have a pretty gaudy garden. And I do use, you know, some herbicides and, you know, different insecticides to keep the tropicals pretty. But I have resorted to the little, like, 1-quart pump up rather
mm-hmm.
than the big
oh, yeah.
gallon. Because it's easier to handle.
You don't need a lot. It's easier to handle it.
Right.
And quite frankly, you don't want to mix up more than you're going to use.
Right.
Whoever knows exactly how much they're going to use. So mix a little bit.
Right.
Get the 1 quart. Plus, the pressure in those is real good.
And some of those chemicals, especially herbicides, not all of them have a shelf life.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Some of them get worse, stronger, and some of them just don't work at all.
Yeah.
So this is one of the first questions I think that I got when I started doing radio that I really had to be a little diplomatic about was the person who inherited Dad's garden shed. And Dad was, you know, 70 years old in 1995. And so the chemicals, some of them had been there this person's entire life. The person was like 30 or, you know, 35. And some of those bottles had been in there that whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a reason why municipalities have a you can bring it to us day, you know,
right.
The roll-off kind of thing for chemicals.
Right.
So do that. It's the same thing as if you're cleaning out, for example, the medicine cabinet, you know,
exactly.
from somebody. You don't want all that stuff. You need to get it gone. And frankly, because things do change, the chemistry in that bottle changes. And you don't need to do that. Trey is letting us know that Monday is, oh, it's so hard not to sing. The 3rd of June.
Oh.
Another sleepy.
Like, what's my,
another
Monday.
Sleepy
it's the
dusky.
Day after tomorrow,
another
right?
Sleepy dusky Delta day. We will be at Lakeland doing repotting of containers, but there will undoubtedly be a little Billy Joe McAllister singing stuff. There are people in this audience who have no idea what I'm talking about, so I'm just going to say Google up Billy Joe McAllister and see what you find.
I could sing the words.
We could all sing that. If
well,
that's,
you know, actually,
that's what's so unfortunate.
Lance and I came up with a little ditty while in
oh,
the first
dear.
Hour.
Oh, no. Oh,
yeah.
No. Don't.
Don't? Okay.
Don't do it. No.
I'll save it for you later.
Y'all make me real nervous.
I bet we do.
I've been doing this a long time. I know when to stop. Hey, now, I have a question now. This is almost a garden question. I've been a fan of Bruce Willis ever since there's been a Bruce Willis, okay? And today is, in fact, aphasia awareness day. So if you're not aware of that, look up aphasia. You need to be aware of it. But one of the best things that he ever did was to be the cab driver in The Fifth Element. We now have proof
that
there are so many
too.
There are so many of us that love that movie. I'm telling you, this is where this comes from. 1,000 participants in this particular survey, more than half say they intend to use air taxis when they become available. I attribute this to the Bruce Willis effect, and I like it. I think it's wonderful. It's what, you know, when we get fond of something, it's kind of like the Nancy Gale Daylily that I was talking about in the previous hour, which is now surrounding my head again. For those of you at supertalk.tv, this was hybridized by Earl Watts in Hattiesburg at Suburban Daylilies, and it is one of the most beautiful daylilies that you will ever grow. You don't really need another one if you just want one, because it is so gorgeous.
I had one of his decades ago. Well, a decade at least, or better.
This one's from 2004, and this was about the fifth one that he released internationally.
The one I had was called Betty Davis Eyes.
Oh, yeah, that's a beautiful daylily.
And if I could ever get – if anybody has Betty Davis
if
Eyes
– if you have that daylily, let us know, because it is beautiful.
Me.
It is beautiful.
Text
but
me.
Don't you think we need a Billy Joe McAllister daylily? I mean, come on. It's the perfect time of year.
Yeah.
Let's get my hybridizers together here.
How would that's
interesting. It would be pale pink with a purple center, of course. But anyway, there's something to be done there. But I just really love this idea of how we're going forward. Well, nobody would have ever asked me if I was going to take an air taxi.
I think I'm qualified to drive an air taxi.
Oh, I know I am. I have a flawless driving record. If I ever disappear from the earth, you'll know that I've gotten my commercial driver's license and headed to Baylor. You know?
That makes me nervous.
See? There's a good reason for that. Let's talk to Faye. She's going to get us back on track this morning. Hey, Faye, thanks for calling from West Point. What's on your mind?
Well, in one of my flower beds, I have a clump of bulbs that some of them are some of them are probably the size of a tennis ball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I probably have 20 or 25 that I can see, and I cannot think of what the flower is. It is, but that's beside the point. And so I'm going to dig some of them up and move them because they're too thick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, then I take my trowel and go down the edge around as far out as I can. Well, I'm hitting something, so I know there's some smaller ones around there.
Yeah.
Is it too late to, because these bulbs have been dead, they bloomed like back in March or 1st of April, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it too late to dig them up and replant them?
No, it's not. The reason I say that, we talk about doing all this sort of stuff in the season opposite the bloom, but if you wait until fall to dig and divide bulbs, we may be having a hurricane. We could be having a drought.
Yeah.
You know, it would not be good conditions for you or the plants. I'm going to guess that this is either amaryllis or crinum lily bulbs, because that's what gets that big and frankly multiplies like that. So,
yeah, and I mean it's not amaryllis because I have my amaryllis is all in another bed. So I think it's like it's a flower that comes up and it has the pretty green leaves on it, and then all of the leaves die and you got just one stem.
Mm-hmm. Well, then it's one of the lichoris, perhaps. Maybe it's a belladonna. But the point is that now that they're dormant is the time actually to dig them. I'm going to suggest something to you. Take, if you have a pitchfork, if you have a garden fork of some sort, go out farther than you think is necessary and begin poking around to find those other bulbs that are underneath without knocking them out. I'm going to guess this is going to be a shovel job at the very least.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I've already, I even took a, I have a long, I don't know, kind of reminds you of an ice pick, and it's probably a foot long, and I can go down almost a foot, and I can hit something, and there's no trees out there, so it wouldn't be a root.
They might have multiplied at that point, but I think that I would start with the edge of the ones that you're going to have to dig the whole clump up, but try to get to that edge and go a little farther out and just dig in that top 6 or 8 inches.
I appreciate your time.
Sure, thank you. I look forward to hearing from you when you get them all done. I want to know what they are. I bet it's pink lichoris, but we'll see. Thank you, Faye. Good to hear from you today. That's fun. Good stuff. I have also been talking about birdhouse gourds this week with people. I brought in some pictures of some of my favorite ones, Mark. I think that's one of the coolest things to grow on a fence or as a backdrop to something else. There's just not everybody can grow gourds.
I totally agree. I grew the cannonball gourd one year, and that was so much fun. And
They're heavy.
Yeah, they are.
You do have to give the vines good support. Because it's like trying, if you were trying to grow a pumpkin up in the air, you'd have to obviously give it a shelf, you know, or something to develop on. But gourds can be almost that heavy.
They can be.
And you want them to be able to be full. You don't want them to be pushed up against something else, you know, because they fell on the ground and ended up growing with a flat side. That's no fun.
Exactly.
That's no fun at all. Tell me a little bit about, we've been looking at gripeweed this morning. Do you have gripeweed at your house?
I'm sure I do. You know, I have all of them.
If you look at that little weed and you think it might be a mimosa tree,
oh yeah,
it's not.
No, it's not.
It's gripeweed, and it's also called chamber bitter. But probably gripeweed is the best name for it. I cleared out. There's only a couple of patches of it left in my front bed, and it got suffocated last year because the zinnia clumps were so big.
Right,
but I saw a couple pieces that had started to come up, and right now I've only got little zinnia seedlings out there. So I had to go weed all around them and do all that. Well, do you know, this morning as I was leaving, I slowed my car down before I entered the lake that is the street in front of my house and got out just to look and make sure the water wasn't sitting in that bed. And, in fact, it's not, but the gripeweed is getting ahead of me already.
Oh, yeah. It is super fast. If you ever let it start producing seeds, you're in trouble.
Oh gosh, it really is. I mean, it not only produces seeds all along every line of every branch, but they all germinate.
I may have inoculated some a couple of days ago, right before 3 inches of rain, and it worked.
Goodness gracious! I hope so.
Yeah,
because they sure do. They get going quickly. On the good side, we're talking about weeds and plants and things we like to grow. Taking your texts, taking your phone calls, of course, today. Chris is in Forest County. He says, our peach tree had its best year ever, made 71 peaches. Wow, that's great.
That's a lot.
If I prune it, when should I prune it? They're pretty, too. Prune it in January. You want to go ahead and let that tree grow this summer, get as many leaves on it as it possibly can. If you haven't fertilized it yet this year, you certainly want to do that. What are their tips about peaches?
Wow. something that people do not realize, that if you really want to produce fruit, insect-free fruit, you have to start spraying those very early.
That's true. There's a schedule for these things.
Yeah. Don't go to a garden center when you've already got peaches and say, I'm having a problem because it's too late.
You will learn names like Curculio.
Yeah.
You will now learn names you didn't realize you needed to know.
Yeah.
And the good news is we've all been through it. So once you get into the fraternity, we can help you get over these things.
Yeah. You
know, it's so smart to remind people. Thank you.
When I was doing retail, I always tried to avoid too much technical talk.
Yeah, let's grow.
Well,
growing stuff is better than trying to kill stuff.
Yeah,
listen,
it is.
Now, I'm going to tell you, we're going to kill some stuff, we're going to grow some stuff, and you're going to come right back. This is the Garden Mama Show.
There is a season, turn, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down, a time to
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extra help.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey.
We have to allow the dancing to continue. Y'all are so lucky that there's only a limited number of cameras here. But anyway, what's on my head now, Lance? Oh, that's bees again. Oh, those are cool. That's very cool. You got that. It's wonderful.
I have to say, the video of the bees was
astounding.
A little intense.
It's astounding, isn't it?
I was like, whoa.
I love it. Having the opportunity to watch bees do what they do is a grace moment. It's one of those things that just you walk in and you say, my goodness, look at that. I'd never seen military precision like I saw in bees, you know, headed into their new hive. Now, of course, the beekeepers came and got the queen out of the wall and put her in the new hive, and they follow. But they flank and they follow. They make a very specific, you know, opportunity for all the bees to get into the hive. It's just beautiful.
It is. It's amazing. And I got a booster seat.
We've moved you into camera range.
I jumped in the chair, everybody, and I hit my chin on the counter.
Well, you know, us short people have to kind of be careful sometimes.
We do.
By the way, for those of you who follow Mark on social media, you will see pictures of me, and I never look like myself. I don't know how this happened. My hair was blonde in that picture the other day.
Sorry.
I haven't had blonde hair since I was a kid.
Do you want me to Photoshop it?
No, it's just weird.
I mean, I can make you look 20 years younger if you want.
No, we don't need that. It was just funny. You know, somebody else called it to my attention, of course, because I should pay more attention, and I don't. Are you putting me in front of a slug now? Is this a comment?
I'm rolling the pictures.
Is this a comment?
No, I'm just rolling the pictures.
Look at that thing. The slug is crawling up my shoulder. Now, come on.
I'm trying to figure out the best method of this.
Well, I have to poke at you and make fun because it's very clever. It's very clever.
Lance, I got in trouble when I told her that you and I came up with a little song on the first
hour. I said don't do it, so just keep all that to yourself. All right, now, Paula wants to know, I'm afraid of that. Paula wants to know if she can prune her gardenia now because it's finished blooming. The answer is yes. And for those of you who insist on pruning them in November, stop. I'm serious. It's one of the saddest things. I get that phone call. Why didn't my gardenia bloom? When did you prune it? Thanksgiving. Well, that's not going to help. Was it blooming right before that? No. Well, it's another one of those shrubs you got to prune after it blooms. Strangely enough, even though we can barely look into next week, flowering shrubs, for the most part, are looking all the way to next year. That first 30 days after they bloom, they could give a, less about what you're looking at in the flowers. They're making next year's buds. So if you want to prune, you got to do it quickly. The gardenia is one. She says it's 8 feet tall. How much can I take off? No more than a third in 1 year. Yeah. And in fact, gardenia is another one that I would say don't take that quite that much. Go about 20% is my preference. Because otherwise they get real thick and then don't bloom either.
How long for an 8 foot gardenia? You know, the day that
it's a beautiful thing. As long as it's also about 5 feet wide, that's a totem. That's a beautiful shrub to have.
I guess it was a month ago when we rode down to my old house on the Pearl River.
Yeah, that was pretty.
There's still a gardenia I planted down there in
1902.
Okay. It wasn't that long ago.
This feels like it. Let's see. Someone who did not give me their name has asked how to get plum production up. We were talking about that, and it really does come to understanding that you prune in January and you basically start spraying that plum tree. You got to fertilize then, too, but then you have to spray it in order for the fruit to form and be edible.
Right.
The saddest thing for me is when it blooms beautifully because plums smell so great. And then you go to the house and the fruit itself is just puny. Well, that's because it had too many critters. They're both fungi and bacteria as well as insects that will try to take on your plums and your peaches if you're not careful.
And they start that as the tree is blooming.
That's right.
The
directions will tell you at half petal drop or at three-quarter petal drop, and that's when you begin.
There's way more science behind it than most people realize. They think they can just, I'm going to plant a fruit tree and then walk away from
it. So many people say, and I'm not putting anybody down because you know I love you, but here's the deal. If you tell me grandma grew it and she never did anything to it, you probably weren't watching.
Right.
She was at least out there shaking it every now and then or picking off some bugs and maybe even spraying
it. Or grandpa went out there and did it right before he came in for lunch.
Yeah, something,
something to that effect. Yeah.
We do have some older varieties that can make some fruit, but even that is more difficult now because, for example, the plum tree that was at my family's home on the Gulf Coast long ago, it got too unpleasant, the circumstances there. One thing and another happened, so they moved it to another relative's. Well, they're going to have to eventually get it to the relatives in your home state of Missouri.
Right.
Because the temperatures are changing and the growing conditions are changing. So all that humidity really does affect the insects and the diseases that try to get on fruit. So
and that also brings up the subject, I get asked, and I know you do, can I save this tree? Fruit trees are kind of like thoroughbred horses. There's a certain point where you just have to put them out to pasture.
There's a point where we make them into bowls and firewood.
Exactly.
Or lamp bases.
If your fruit trees are getting, a little weathered and old.
Generally speaking, 15 years is a really good run for like an apple tree.
Yeah.
And a lot of us have things that are much older than that in the garden. That reminds me to talk about blueberries because some of my blueberries are absolutely alien. They're so huge.
They are.
And it has been, I have to do that today. I have to pick. After all this rain, there'll be more that are ripe. But they have just been delicious, too. Last year was so horrible, and this year has been just great. So I hope everybody else is having similar reactions.
I think,
but I have one blueberry that's going to have to go.
Yeah.
It's no longer. It can only. It's the oldest one, and it's probably 22 years old, and it can only make blueberries that are kind of, you know, a quarter inch.
Yeah, like artificial blueberry size.
I pruned it. Looks like the ones in the old Duncan Hines blueberry pancake mix. You know.
Yeah.
But I have pruned it every year. I have fertilized it, and this year I'm noticing that the bark on the actual plant itself is peeling off.
Well, you know, based
I think
on
we've outaged ourselves.
Based on the row of 12 footers you have, I think you can do without one.
Probably. let that one go.
Yeah.
But it is sentimental because it was the first one. Let's see. When is hummingbird season? I'm going to tell you that there's some great references that will give you an actual calendar. I don't have it today, so I can't post it up for you. But indeed, If you go to Audubon Society, you will find a link to the hummingbird migration. That will tell you when you should expect them in your area.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the cicadas. They may be there. They will be there. Oh, goodness, they are there. You know what I mean? You think about them for a minute, and then all of a sudden the hummingbirds are there. So I think it's important for everybody to get that idea.
I just suddenly checking out what you're wearing and what I'm wearing. I don't know why.
We're in blue today.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're blueing up.
You know, and the cicada thing, scientifically, it was amazing, but the hype, it got a little overdone, and I'm like,
depends on where you are.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the sound of them up to a certain extent, but I will tell you that we have on Etsy, in the Nell's Garden shop, which is NELZ, capital GARDN, that we've been selling cicada stickers, and they are really cute.
Are they? I didn't even know you had an Etsy site. Really, I had no idea.
Well, we have a little of everything in Garden Mama World. We try to, you know.
Well, I think I'm going to kind of stop growing flowers, and I'm going to start growing tree frogs and slugs.
There's something to be said for going with the abundance. I'll admit that. I do prefer the tree frogs to the slugs, if you have to be honest. The problem with slugs, I have mosquitoes. I have wet piles of lawn, you know, and leaves and all that, and it's a terrible thing. But I have managed to keep the slugs at bay. Ever since the year that I went out my back door and they were on the screen door and threatening to walk off with the screen door.
That's disturbing.
Too many of them. It was disturbing.
It's disturbing.
It was very
yeah.
disturbing. And that was the year that I actually rebuilt the stoop because I realized that it was so wet and damp and dark under there that was where they were living, underneath my house. Oh, no.
That's creepy.
Have to undo that. So we did. Oh, one more question that has come in already on the text today that I didn't get to. There's a whole lot of clover growing in this vegetable garden. And he says, and it's obviously a big garden because he says he discs it and it still comes back and comes back. That's true. It does. It's good to have some. If it's possible, I hate to think about discing, you know, but I would think that disking at the point where it's going to try to come up in late fall would probably be the time to get it under more control because you can bury it deeper.
Right.
And if that doesn't help, we may have to use a spray of some sort. Again, that's that vinegar stuff. But the problem with clover really is that it is such a tight clump that it's almost, if you're not cutting it off at the top and over and over and over, you just get more of it, you know.
The bubble's the wrong direction. That's hilarious. Call me.
We're playing. We're having some fun here. And now my head is in lettuce? What is my head? Oh, my head
that's
is in...
That's those beans.
Yeah.
Beans.
Wow. That's the best
beans
I ever looked.
Scorched beans.
That's the best I ever looked.
I missed bean season. Tried.
Well, we'll have to take a road trip to Tupelo.
Yeah.
Because Trey has plenty.
That's a long way to go for beans. But
not these.
But I'm game.
Not these.
Not these.
His rattlesnake beans are worth the trip.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
All right.
Y'all know it's true.
We'll do it.
One of the things that always comes up in the summer is when do we stop and when do we start? I have friends that garden on Cape Cod. They, of course, are planting tomatoes. And they're so happy. Well, okay. But on the other hand, they don't get to have the two rounds like we do. And when we miss something like bean season, the good news is you can come right back in July and do it again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a better crop.
And I have some of the prettiest celery. It's amazing.
Let's talk about celery. Why do people think they can't grow celery here?
I don't know. I guess it's education. You know, they don't realize that you really need to plant it early, you know, and it's really pretty shallow rooted. It doesn't have to, you know.
It's true, and you can't get it too wet.
Yeah. Gosh, mine's big enough to put Cheese Whiz on. peanut butter, you know.
Cheese Whiz. I knew that would, my own heart here.
I knew he would.
Canned cheese with cheese aerosol.
I don't know how to tell you all this. I've never eaten Cheese Whiz either.
I've seen it, but I've never eaten it. The name of the company, because we don't want to give free promos here, but there is a sandwich company around that makes a Cheese Whiz Philly. And it's
that's the thing that the Philly comes from, the original Philly's have that.
Yeah.
And,
it's an original Philly style. That's the one I get when I go there. I'm like, hey, give me that Cheese Whiz Philly.
I'm afraid it's morphed from the original though. We should not even talk about that.
The definition of cheese goes into the whole thing. It's like you read the label, it says this is a cheese something or other, and then you find out it is a cheese product. You know, it's like, oh, really?
We're emulating cheese with this.
I promise by the time I come back, Lance, I will bring you some celery and Cheese Whiz.
I'm on it,
or
man.
Peanut butter.
I'll take the Cheese Whiz. I like peanut butter, but the Cheese Whiz. Let's go with that.
It's about the celery.
You have to cut the celery into 3-inch lengths, gentlemen.
Actually, one inch lengths,
and put pimento cheese in them and serve them at lunch.
You wrap it in bacon too.
We have been.
We don't wrap it in bacon. Y'all are terrible.
All right, back to business.
Back to something resembling
gardening.
The celery. What do you fertilize them with?
So far I haven't used anything but mostly organic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he's coming over to my world, y'all.
Just for the food. And I occasionally do a little bit of liquid feed on the vegetables. Mm-hmm. But
do you use one of those, like a bag of organic fertilizer, or do you use your own compost, or what?
I don't really have compost. Right now, I don't have a compost pile. It's coming.
We'll do that and demonstrate it to your garden club.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
It would be fun.
Yeah, we can have a video.
That's right.
We've got to set it up so you're shoveling and
me
doing
composting.
Right,
that's riveting.
That is absolutely worth documenting.
It's riveting. But, the mix I feel the raised beds with contained, like mushroom compost bed builder. And then I would add blood meal, bone meal, cottonseed meal, mm-hmm. but I buy it already pre-mixed, an organic, and I just mix it into the soil.
But you're putting in the elements and adding them to the to the bed mix.
Right.
That's a good way to go.
I mean, I don't have like a bag of synthetic vegetable fertilizer.
Well, but you might have had a bag of like Dr. Dirt worm castings. You know what I mean?
That's the kind of stuff I use.
A lot of stuff like that that people – sometimes I think – one of the programs that I used to do, and I haven't done in a long time, is the what's on that shelf. You know, come meet me here, and we'll talk about what these things are that you walk into. They're all so pretty, and they kind of run together when you walk down the aisle at the garden center. Let's look at what these things are. It was a good program. My goodness, I can't believe we're already at the break, y'all. Stick around. We're going to talk about a few more things, and I'm going to figure out what this is while we are away. Don't go far.
Is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
When it comes to returning money to Mississippians, Treasurer David McRae is on a roll. He's already returned almost $100 million in unclaimed money to Mississippians through the Treasury's Unclaimed Money Program. Now, he's refocused the state's college savings initiatives, Max and Impact, to emphasize technical, trade, and teacher-focused career jobs and skills Mississippi needs. Don't let another day go by without getting a jump start on a career or getting back the money that's yours. Visit Treasurer David McRae at treasury.ms.
It always seemed to go
that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. It paid paradise, put up a parking lot. It took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. And they charged the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone.
You know, one of the things that we do here on the Garden Mama Show is celebrate people that are over 80 and excelling. So if you haven't listened to Joni Mitchell's newest music, you should do that. This one is very old, and it's a rocker.
Bobby Rush just got a road named after him.
Thank you very much. I was throwing it to you. I knew you would come to me. That was so fun to see him dancing in the street with his friends.
Yeah. I texted him the other day. I'm like, man, congratulations. And he's such a great guy. You love seeing people love what they do. But, man, I mean, the vibrant nature of him and to Joni Mitchell and those that are still doing it and rocking on and in their 80s.
Yeah.
So
my role models.
Yeah, mine too. Are you kidding me?
Oh,
I gotta change my lady. I gotta have to do some lifestyle changes.
Well, that does help. Pace is all the thing. That and the lady that is 103 and has a cat that she adopted when she was over 80.
The guy that landed that landed the glider in the reservoir.
The guy who landed the glider in the
Yep.
And he did it safely too.
Yeah, guy pulled out and they're like, hey dude, you wanna go get a cheeseburger at the bed? Tow that thing on back.
Lance and Peaches and I are having a really good time today. We hope y'all are having this much fun in your garden. You should. Gardening is the best part of your life. I'm telling you right now, whatever else you're doing, however else you're spending your time, if you are spending a little bit of time, and I say this in a very positive way, making sure that you know exactly what you're connected to, and that is, in fact, the earth and the soil. This is not a hippy-dippy. This is just simply the way it is. I can give you research from the Menninger Clinic. I can give you all kinds of other testimonials from human beings. You feel better when you garden. You feel better. You do better. Come on.
Yeah. I mean,
it seems that simple, doesn't it? And because sometimes there's things you want to know about that aren't exactly intuitive in gardening, I get a chance to do this every Saturday. So it's really
it's fun.
It's a blast.
Lance, she tried to give me the day off today, and I'm like, wait a minute.
It's too much fun doing this.
It's like the cherry on top of the week. Come on.
Yeah, I was just hoping the weather would allow us to have an electrical signal.
I know, right?
Alarms are going off.
And that's why we let you worry about that. I was worried about getting through the lake that is the street in front of my house.
Man, I was just hoping we were going to get the show off this morning.
Really glad it worked out. Beautiful cedar trees Spencer and Terry has. They're 10 inches tall. He wants to give them to someone. I'm going to say leave them where they are for now and do that moving of that plant in the fall, digging them up. You could dig them up and put them in a container if they needed to take them, you know, to some other state and plant them in the fall. But I would rather the whole operation took place in autumn if you can do that. Sometime after October 1st, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, I mean,
nice plant.
That's why you ask questions, because there are certain times to do certain things. And
it'll make your life easier.
It will make your life easier. Yeah, you can say, oh, good.
I love this. There's a reseeding coleus she has in her yard, in her pots. She thought they were all gone. What is this? It's perilla.
It's perilla.
It is purple shiso. You've seen green shiso probably in recipes and stuff. But it's a beautiful plant, and it's related to a coleus. It's in the mint family, largely speaking. It has that square stem, and it's easily propagated by just pinching out the top and letting it go. And, yes, it obviously will reseed.
It's
all over the place.
Up in the Ozark Mountains, it's everywhere on the hillsides.
Oh, how pretty.
It's just everywhere, green and the purple.
I love that plant.
Yeah.
And it's tasty, too. So
yeah, and
it's not that I eat everything. But
I'm representing today.
You Table Rock Lake. Now, that's some
Table
good.
Rock
that's
Lake
Adirondack chairs in Missouri.
And a campfire.
On a heartbeat on a moonlit night. That's a great shirt.
I've done that.
Well, I hope so. I got the T-shirt, see?
Yeah, I got the T-shirt.
Okay, now, Trey
it's only official if you get the T-shirt.
You have to, because it's like if there's not a picture, it didn't happen nowadays. You know,
the truth.
You can't just write the diary. You have to take the pictures with it. Trey wants us to know, and I know he's told me this before, it is east of Grenada. Yes, it is. It's further out, but because his – I don't know who picks these logos for y'all, for yourselves or these screen names, but your screen name here has always been Trey in Grenada, so that's how I refer – to me, you're actually Trey at the Tupelo Farmers Depot, because that's where I met you. But that's not really where you are. That's just where you were that day. So anyway, we'll
that's hilarious.
We'll have the Daisy call the bee. That's a good one. I like
call
that.
Me.
Call me.
Call me.
Oh, beautiful from the Oxford Farmers Market. Come on, Lance, why are we not there? Hibiscus snow cones this morning.
Mm.
It's wonderful.
Wow.
It's a great picture.
Wow.
You know, it's just so sweet. So much fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, I see part of it. Yeah, nice.
Yep.
Hibiscus snow cones.
Yep. I'll be a hibiscus snow cone. I like that. That's fun. Perilla and hibiscus, and we're talking about things that we hadn't talked about before. That's just really a blast. There's the elderberries are starting to make fruit, and I think there's a project in there because the bush is so much bigger than it was. I've always had elderberries in my back garden, and they were always interesting to mess with. When I was a little kid, yeah. We used elderberries for war paint, and that's an embarrassing thing to admit, but in my second grade picture, you can still see the little purple streaks on my face because it wouldn't come off. And I can remember my mother scrubbing it, really, because it was picture day, you know. Just one of those things. You had me. You had all that trouble. But they're beautiful, and they are make such fancy juices and simple syrups and
right.
infusions for wedding cakes and all that sort of stuff. So we're working in that direction. I think that's going to be fun. Really going to be fun. Garden Mama, I have sown a quarter acre in Coreopsis tick seed, purple cosmos, and very old Shasta Daisy seeds. Will the Coreopsis and tick seed reseed? Whew, good questions.
Yeah.
What do you think? Depends on which one it is?
Depends on which one it is, yeah.
They may reseed and you get the parent if it was a hybrid a hybrid Coreopsis.
Yeah. You know, there's a native.
Yes.
You know, our state flower, if you can get a hold of that one, it definitely reseeds.
Oh, yeah, it'll be there.
But a lot of the hybrids, you know.
The only thing that slows it down, really, is if it's too wet.
Yeah.
If the areas, like if the areas like the median at the highway, it reseeds beautifully.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think it's true, actually, that the tick seed, the Coreopsis is, tick seed is the common name for Coreopsis, but there are Coreopsis that are called tick seed and others that are not.
Right.
So
that's confusing, yeah.
Well, of course it's confusing. It's, you know, plant names.
I didn't roll my eyes that time. I think I crossed them. I better not do that. They might stick.
There's an understanding to all of this and why it works, but it can be very confusing. It's the same thing as why does strawberry bush have six common names? Because it was grown in 6 or 8 or 10 places, and somebody brought it from over here. And,
over
you know,
20 decades.
They called it this, and somebody else called it that. I mean, that's how we end up in this situation.
And believe it or not, Garden Mama and myself have those conversations. What is that plant?
Yeah.
It's not that. It's too big.
No, it's not that one. It's not this one.
Yeah.
The threads are not supposed, you know, the stamens are not supposed to be that red. They're supposed to be yellow. You know, there's just, and everybody, the people who actually go and worry about that stuff and go to conventions every year have a great, I mean, I am tipped off.
There's that blonde hair you're talking about.
Yeah, you have some, too, like some red in there.
Isn't that wild?
And then whiskers.
There's those beautiful flags.
Yeah.
Beautiful flags. One of the things that I really like, Mark, about your place is that you all have shown us how to decorate a porch. Not everybody knows what to do with that porch. And that porch, your porch is beautiful. Your porch says, come here.
Yeah, it does.
Come on over. Hi, what you doing? And that's what we're all, I mean, you know, I have one flag. He has five.
And the neighbors, you know, the neighborhood, you know, they drive by and go, I wonder what the flag house is doing today. Because you never know. I swap them. You know, we swap them around. You know, I'm going to embellish some wreaths at some point this weekend because I may buy one pre-made, but it's just not quite.
It isn't quite what you were
enough.
Looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not too much, so it has to be a little more. We are out of time, my friend. Thank you so much for being here today.
I hope I have time to tell you about that little Jackson and Perkins tag that
I
found.
We're going
to
do it next time because we're already out of here. Thank you, Lance.
Wow.
We will see y'all Monday at Lakeland and back here next week.
FM and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWG Employer Services.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish. Then there is Superior Catfish.
Hey, John. A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.